I want to give you a little bit of history. Nathan Soderblom was the Archbishop of Uppsala and the head of the Church of Sweden, and he was born in 1866. When he was 20 years old in 1886, there was a dramatic schism in the Dutch Reformed Church in the Netherlands. Geronimo surrendered to the U.S. Army, ending the American and Indian Wars. The Statue of Liberty was dedicated in New York Harbor. And Otto von Bismarck initiated the mass expulsion of ethnic Poles and Jews from Prussia. 22 Christians are martyred in Uganda, 13 Roman Catholics, and 9 Anglicans. King Ludwig II of Bavaria is detained as part of a deposition and drowns the following day under mysterious circumstances. All of that is happening in 1886 as well. Of all that, in the midst of all that mixture of joy and chaos, under the influence of William Reed Huntington, an American priest in the Episcopal Church, our House of Bishops met in Chicago, passed a resolution on the elements necessary for Christian unity, and articulating their willingness to pursue the same. In 1888, the Lambeth Conference, that gathering of global Anglican bishops, adapts and adopts that same resolution from Chicago, and it became known as the Chicago-Lambeth Quadrilateral. It is the Anglican declaration about our willingness to enter into and engage in ecumenical dialogue. And it's in the back of the prayer book. In 1888, when Nathan Soderblom was 22, in that same year, Jack the Ripper is murdering people in London. Murdering women in London, to be specific. Crown Prince William II becomes Kaiser Wilhelm II. This is the Kaiser who led Germany through World War I. In 1893, the first Parliament of World Religions happened in Chicago. In 1914 to 1918, World War I happened, with between 15 and 19 million people dying. In 1918 and 1919, there was the mass influenza pandemic, in which between 20 and 40 million people died. So, Nathan Soderblom lived at a time when 35 to 59 million people died from war and disease. It's an amazing number. A horrifying number, isn't it? 35 to 59 million people died because of war and disease. But what's interesting to me about that is the recognition that there is where history is going and where history and our various cultures are going. And then there is where the Holy Spirit is going and what the Holy Spirit is doing. And sometimes in some places in history, where history is going and where the Holy Spirit is going are exactly the same thing. And at other times in history, where history and cultures are going and where the Holy Spirit is going are two different things. And one of the great challenges is to recognize where the Holy Spirit is going. That's what Christian discernment is all about. And I don't know if it's harder to see where the Holy Spirit is going when that's the same as where history and culture is going, or if it's harder to spot where the Holy Spirit is going when that's different from where history and culture is going. But it is certainly the case, as Soderblom said in the reading that we heard from him, that people were feeling disheartened and discouraged. The sense of progress was obliterated by all that violence and all that death. And yet, in the church, there were problems and challenges, schisms and fights, but there was also this move towards hearing the Spirit call the different churches to oneness. And so you hear it in Chicago, you hear it in Lambeth, you hear it in Sweden with the work of Nathan Soderblom. This mirrors in many ways the Gospel of John. Though when he had gone out at the beginning of the gospel we heard this morning is Judas. Judas has gone out into the darkness of night to betray Jesus. Jesus, before he went out, fed him with bread and oil. Jesus understands, because in John's gospel he has perfect understanding, that Peter's going to betray him. And he nonetheless commissions him and washes his feet. Throughout the Gospel of John, things happen that on the surface look very negatively at the level of the history of cultures and society. Things happen that look very negative. A betrayal, right? A rejection, an execution. They all, at the level of history and society, look completely negative. And what Jesus shows us underneath that, especially in the Gospel of John, is the work of God and the Spirit that's happening in his life that turns that death into a glorification. And so Jesus talks throughout the Gospel of John, when he says, now the Son of Man is glorified, he's talking about, now I'm going to go hang on the cross and die. The ability to see that death as a glorification is one of his most amazing things in my mind. I'm not sure I could do it. Right? But there is this persistence of discernment in Christian tradition that is willing to look through, beyond, behind, around, underneath, above, any way we can to catch a glimpse of what the Holy Spirit is up to in a picture that is much bigger than the current moment. And part of the discipline of Christianity that Soderblom so correctly identifies for us is the law of love. No matter what happens, if we practice the law of love, we're doing what Jesus wanted and are more likely to catch a glimpse of what the Holy Spirit is doing. If we work for justice, if we care for others, if we practice the way of love, as our presiding bishop puts it, we're more likely to catch a glimpse of what the Holy Spirit is up to. And it's easier for us to take a bigger, more confident perspective than the exigencies of the moment. That's what Soderblom did. He looked at the world and he saw all of these horrible things. He lived in a time when so many millions of people died, and he saw that the way of love and the way of justice compelled him to say, Christians should come together in this age and at this time. And that was a powerful, powerful proclamation. The fact that we have full communion with the Church of Sweden, the fact that we have full communion with the Heartland Catholic Church of Utrecht, the fact that we have full communion with the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the fact that we have full communion with the Moravian Church, all of those things that I am so used to, they got started by the Chicago Lambeth Quadrilateral and the work of Nathan Soderblom. Christianity, the face of Christianity, is different today because people like our bishops, people like Nathan Soderblom, saw in the midst of death and destruction the possibilities that the Holy Spirit was calling us to. That's the challenge, even today. Love and justice as spiritual disciplines to help us see what the Holy Spirit is doing.